Greetings, pilgrims. It's Pastor Bob, and we have episode 9 of our Gift of Gratitude series for the month of November in the year 2020. What a beautiful blue sky we have today. Have you noticed? And the sun is shining down upon us. Trees are mostly bare now and showing their limbs, and we can actually see through them. It's an amazing view when you stop and think about it. Well, we're going to continue today with our Billy Graham series. You remember yesterday we heard about thanking God for the material blessings we have, and he contrasted one day in his life when he visited two men, one who seemed to have everything, including fame and material gifts, who was completely unhappy, and one who lived in a humble cottage and had hardly any of the world's possessions, but yet Christ had filled his life with meaning and purpose. And of course, Billy Graham points out that that second man was really the rich man, because he had learned to be thankful for everything that God had given him. It's like Paul says, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. And I love the Ted Farrar biblical quote from last Wednesday night, quoting Paul, I am thankful in all things. Right? Not for all things, but in all things. That's just an epiphany for me. That's been my best lesson so far. Well, today, Billy Graham's going to talk about the people in our lives. And to prepare ourselves, we have brought in a whole gaggle of monks right here to the parsonage to sing for us. And you can hear them chanting in the background. We have filled the space here with a scent of cinnamon cider from our favorite candle. And check this out. Can you tell? That is our favorite kava tea blended with our cinnamon blueberry herbal tea from Bigelow. We've spiced up the kava. Whew, better put on my seatbelt before we begin here. Well, speaking of, let us begin. Billy Graham, teaching us about thanking God for the people in our life. Here's what he says. It is so easy to take people for granted, or even to complain and become angry because they do not meet our every wish. But we need to give thanks for those around us, our spouses, our children, our relatives, our friends, and others who help us in some way. I once received a letter from a woman who began by telling me how fortunate she was to have a kind, considerate husband. She then used 4 pages to list all his faults. How many marriages and other relationships grow cold and eventually are shattered because of the sin of ingratitude. Do you let others know that you appreciate them and are thankful for them? The Christians in Corinth, as we know, were far from perfect. But Paul began his first letter to them by saying, I always thank God for you. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. I always thank God for you. When a group of believers whom Paul had never met came out to greet him as he approached Rome, we read that, quote, at the sight of these men, Paul thanked God and was encouraged. That's in Acts chapter 28, verse 15. Paul is coming into Rome with the Roman guards to be tried and eventually executed. He had invested a lot of his heart and soul into this church in Rome, which he only hoped was going to become something, a statement in the face of the greatest city the world can give you. Was there anybody there? Were they practicing the faith? Were they bringing Christ to one of the most secular of cities? And as Paul approached the city of Rome, surrounded by the guards, and he looked up as they came over the crest, there they were, a whole congregation coming out to greet him and letting him know how much that he has meant in their lives. And at the sight of these men, Paul thanked God and was encouraged. The lesson today, thank God for each and every person who touches your life today. Amen. Wonderful teaching from Billy Graham. We have a special poem today. It's a requested poem from the wonderful anthology of poems by Garrison Keillor called Good Poems. Garrison Keillor's Good Poems. We'll be using a few of these in the days to come, but today a very special one that's been selected by one of our favorite regular listeners. Maybe actually my favorite, to be completely transparent. And she has suggested for today a poem by Thomas Allen Orr, O-R-R, Thomas Allen Orr, who I'm going to bet you've never heard of. And hardly anyone else has either. In fact, he's been, at least as the time of the publishing of the book, he's been hiding in obscurity very well. And all we know about him is somewhere in rural America, Thomas Allen Orr writes poetry, and he's a social worker. He's written this wonderful poem. It's called Soybeans. I think it's appropriate for where we are in this time of year. Soybeans by Thomas Allen Orr. The October air was warm and musky, blowing over brown fields, heavy with the fragrance of freshly combined beans, the breath of harvest. He was pulling a truckload onto the scales at the elevator near the rail siding north of town when a big Cadillac drove up. A man stepped out, wearing a three-piece suit and a gold pinky ring. The man said he had just invested $100,000 in soybeans and wanted to see what they looked like. The farmer stared at the man and was quiet. Reaching for the tobacco in the rear pocket of his jeans, where he wore his only ring, a threadbare circle rubbed by working cans of dip and long hours on the backside of a 100-acre run. He scooped up a handful of small white beans, the pearls of the prairie, saying, "Soybeans look like a foot of water on the field in April when you're ready to plant and can't get in. Like three kids at the kitchen table eating macaroni and cheese 5 nights in a row. Or like a broken part on the combine when your credit with the implement dealer is nearly tapped. Soybeans look like prayers bouncing off the ceiling when prices on the Chicago grain market start to drop. Or like your old man's tears when you tell him how much the land might bring for subdivisions. Soybeans look like the first good night of sleep in weeks when you unload at the elevator and the kids get Christmas. He spat a little juice on the tire of the Cadillac, laughing despite himself and saying to the man, "Now maybe you can tell me what $100,000 looks like." Soybeans by Thomas Allen Orr. The October air was warm and musky, blowing over brown fields, heavy with the fragrance of freshly combined beans, the breath of harvest. He was pulling a truckload onto the scales at the elevator near the rail siding north of town when a big Cadillac drove up. A man stepped out, wearing a three-piece suit and a gold pinky ring. The man said he had just invested $100,000 in soybeans and wanted to see what they looked like. The farmer stared at the man and was quiet. Reaching for the tobacco in the rear pocket of his jeans, where he wore his only ring, a threadbare circle rubbed by working cans of dip and long hours on the backside of a 100-acre run, he scooped up a handful of small white beans, the pearls of the prairie, saying, "Soybeans look like a foot of water in the field in April when you're ready to plant and can't get in. Like three kids at the kitchen table eating macaroni and cheese 5 nights in a row. Or like a broken part on the combine when your credit with the implement dealer is nearly tapped. Soybeans look like prayers bouncing off the ceiling when prices on the Chicago grain market start to drop. Or like your old man's tears when you tell him how much the land might bring for subdivisions. Soybeans look like the first good night of sleep in weeks when you unload at the elevator and the kids get Christmas." He spat a little juice on the tire of the Cadillac, laughing despite himself and saying to the man, "Now maybe you can tell me what $100,000 looks like." That is so good. So good. You know, I think one thing we should all be grateful for is to live in a community surrounded by the farm culture, so wholesome and natural, and teaching us all how to live in rhythm with God's ways and God's wills, the natural rhythm of nature, the sun and the seasons, and the gift that is, those eternal universal lessons that we can all learn as we, after 3 years, start to understand when the corn is planted and when it grows and when it peaks and when it dries. And the beans as well. Thank God for the soybeans. We'll continue tomorrow. I hope you can join us. Until then, may God bless your day. And remember today, thank God for each and every person who touches your life today. Amen.